The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented. But there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Can you all hear okay? Are you starting to get a lot of echo? Okay. All right. I find this gospel a little humorous because, you know, so many of the modern portraits of Jesus present him as kind of this nice, affable guy who went around, you know, doing nice things. And I have no doubt that that is true of Jesus, but it's not the only side of Jesus. He's much more complicated. He's basically a prophet, and prophets, they could really get at you. And he stands in front of this crowd. Imagine, just, you know, standing in front of the crowd, and he says, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign." And he's not exactly winning them over with honey. It's more vinegar at this point. And he really lets them have it for their lack of faith. And, you know, how to understand the side of Jesus, it's a little bit, I think, what we might call strong medicine, you know. And those who have been parents, I think, know this, that there's a time to be soft and conciliatory with a child, but there are other times to just be very firm and very clear and raise your voice a little and put an edge to it. And the Lord has to be this way with us sometimes. It's very easy for us to just want him to be a nice guy and pat us on the head all the time. But we all know that we need sometimes something a little stronger from the Lord, a stronger medicine. And even if not we ourselves, certainly the church as a whole, or the world as a whole. And so there's a place, you know, for this sort of sternness that we see on the part of Jesus here. He's emphatic. He's using the anger of the prophets as he denounces the lack of faith. He says, you know, non-Israelites have greater faith than you. You know, what's your problem? Wake up. Things are being fulfilled in your very sight. I'm fulfilling all the things that the Messiah would do. And you say, well, he's from Nazareth. Heck with him. He's not of our party. And so on. And so this is, of course, what the Lord is fundamentally about. He's trying to draw them to faith, without which they will not be saved. It is so easy for us to just think, well, this is just, you know, trying, it's just about ideas and about things. And no, this is about salvation. You know, we like to always pretend that there aren't real consequences to things. It's all about just differences of opinion. But this, what Jesus is getting at, this is about faith. And then this is about salvation. See, we can't play games with this. So the Lord is our doctor, and he's trying to shake us up a little and work with us here and say, look, I want you to know there's a judgment day coming, and I want you to be ready for it. And quit goofing off and quit playing around and having debates about fine points of the thing. Get with the program, come to faith, and be saved or not. And there's the decision that we have to make. That leads me to the beginning of the letter to the Romans. And there's I think it's one of the longest sentences in the entire Bible, this opening of the letter to the Romans. All right, Paul, where's the period? We keep looking for the period in this sentence. Sometimes the way you look for the period from this preacher, you know, when will he end? But there is a particular phrase in that long opening sentence that I want to point out to you. Paul is saying fundamentally why he is writing. He says that we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about in you the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. There is an obedience that has to go with faith. And again, sometimes we like faith to remain something abstract. Faith means I trust in God. Faith means, you know, it's sort of flowery stuff. But when it really comes down to it, what faith involves is obedience. Now, an example would be if I ask for directions on how to get to your house, and I say, I trust you to give me these directions. I can just follow your directions and get to your house. So you give me directions. And then on the way I say, well, I don't want to turn right, I'm going to turn left. I don't like being told what to do. You know, and all this kind of stuff that we often do with God. God has told us how to get to heaven, how to get home. And instead of turning right, we turn left. Or instead of going straight, we want to go back. And we, you know, well, let me just follow my analogy. If I take your directions and say, look, I'm going to go to your house, but refuse to follow your directions, I'm not getting there, am I? It's pretty crazy thinking. And yet a lot of people think that, well, God gives us the directions on how to get home. And we say, Lord, I trust you. I love you. Lord, you're great. You're holy. Hallelujah. And we get all happy in church. And we shout about how great God is and how much we trust him. And then we don't follow the directions. Am I really trusting you if I don't follow your directions? No, that's just lip service. I don't trust you. And if I really trust God, I really have faith in God, then I'm going to follow the directions. So that's why, therefore, faith has to have about it an obedience. And God has said, this is the way, walk in it. And if I really say I trust him and I really mean it, I'm going to make every effort to do it. And so again, and if I get off the path, whether through weakness or through just stupidity, then I got to get back on the path somehow. I got to work my way back to the way God has shown. So that is, again, Paul's fundamental purpose in writing to the Romans. I'm writing this letter to you as an apostle, and we apostles have received this grace to bring about in you the obedience of faith. And yet, and unfortunately, many people again today, and in every age, have wanted to have a designer faith and a designer God. Make up your own God and worship that God. And that's called idolatry, right? That's what that's called. But my God doesn't mind if I do this, or my God doesn't... Well, wait a minute, it's right here in the scriptures. Oh, well, that was written by men a long time ago. I mean, that's the attitude of a lot of people today. It's look, man, I'm going to make this up as I go along. I'm going to make up my own thing. Well, I don't like that page, so I'm going to tear it out. Or, I don't think God would have said that. The Jesus I know didn't say that. Well, wait a minute, it's right there in the book. Oh, no, he didn't really say that. I just know that in my heart. Well, you see what I'm saying? We can't be that way about faith. We either accept it as it's revealed and obey, or we're on our own. We're completely lost. We're an orphan. We have no God at all. We either accept it as it's been revealed and struggle with it. Some of the sayings and teachings of God are challenging. Some of them are hard to understand. I just wrote an article on the blog last night on hell. You know, it's a hard thing for some people to understand, including me. I mean, all of us, we struggle to understand hell. And yet, it's there, it's revealed. And we obey. We pay attention. We accept. The issue of homosexuality is very big in the news this weekend with the demonstrations, and some people find it hard. How can God, quote, make some people this way, and then they can't get married? And even if we're going to presume that God, quote, makes people that way, I don't know. Some people are born without a right arm. Some people are born. Well, for example, darn it, it's not fair. My brother was better at math than I was. He had a brain for math, and I didn't. You know, we are born with a certain cards in our deck, and we play them. You know, we use them. But we're not all the same. We have strengths, and we have struggles. We have talents, and we have deficits. We all have these good things that we're blessed with and things that we struggle with. So I don't know why some people have this orientation, where it comes from, but I just know what God has said about what to do about it, which is to live celibately. The Lord Jesus said some people are incapable of marriage. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. So again, you see what I'm saying? But some people just want to say, well, I don't care for that attitude, and I'm tearing that page out. And they set aside the clear testimony of Scripture. Now, again, that is not the way we can go about business. We have to bring about, my job is not, I'm not an apostle, but I'm a deputy sheriff. I'm a deputy to one of the apostles. And our role is to bring about in the faithful, including the preacher, the obedience of faith. To try to explain, to try to understand, but in the end, to obey. To obey. And all of us fall short. We all have struggles in certain areas of our life. And we're going to struggle in certain areas more than others. But we keep working. We don't call good what God calls sinful. And we don't make up a new faith. We accept what God has revealed, and we obey. And if we fail through either weakness or just obstinance, we get right into that box over there in the confessional and we start again. But we do not redefine God, and we do not redefine what God has revealed. So bottom line, and I feel like I'm talking to those who don't need to hear this, but I'm hoping to strengthen you to share this with others. That's the point, you see. And so God bless you all for your obedience of the faith. And we all know that in some ways we fall short, but again, praise God, we also know to find our way to a confessional. So, but pray, because this is a time of great rebellion in the human family, where people kind of want to make up their own designer religion and their own designer God, and they want to set aside that which has been revealed. It's a very huge problem today. And we've got to, once again, hear that faith and obedience go hand in hand. Amen.